managing shards, maintenance windows, over-provisioning, elastic cash bills. I know, it's a spooky season and you're already shaking. It's time for caching to be simpler. Memento serverless cache lets you forget the backend to focus on good code and great user experiences. With true auto-scaling and a pay-per-use pricing model, it makes caching easy. No matter your cloud provider, get going for free at gomemento.co/morning. That's gomemento.co/morning. Programmers, you know, those of us who turn our undying commitment to getting insulted by computers into a career, don't code in the cloud. That's the general rule for the developer community, although there are obviously some exceptions. So why aren't programmers adopting cloud-hosted development environments? The founder of Warp, a we're-going-to-reinvent-the-terminal startup, wrote a blog post posing and answering this question. There are serious benefits to writing and running code in the cloud, he wrote, and actually I don't disagree with that assessment. But Warp's founder largely credits cloud IDE not catching on to programmers not needing to solve for version skew because, you know, Git exists. It's certainly not your friend, but it does exist, and we're all begrudgingly using it while also being secretly scared of it. So I think there's a deeper reason why developers aren't moving to remote development. Let me illustrate my thinking here by telling you my own story. I've been a grumpy Unix admin for a very long time. Early in my career, developers were using editors like BBEdit or Sublime Text or later on Atom. In the meantime, I didn't really know what environment I'd be working within from day to day. I'd be on my laptop today, sure, but tomorrow I'd be connecting over SSH to a recalcitrant Solaris box, and I knew remarkably little about Solaris. But I did know that it's Unix and that it would have some form of VI installed. So I started using VI as my default text editor. At that point, it started feeling pretty weird to me to have a fairly expensive laptop and more or less just use it to run a terminal. Those early days also predated Docker. Getting an application to work on Mac OS X, which is what it was called back then, was usually doable. It was, after all, a certified Unix, but it was not fun. On one particularly irritable afternoon of work, I threw my hands in the air and thought, screw this, I'm over it, spun up a virtual machine on a server in the data center, and I used that as my development box. And suddenly, my development environment looked a heck of a lot more like production. It had a super fast connection to the internet. And as an added bonus, my accident-prone self knocking a drink into my laptop didn't destroy data that I cared about anymore. I was hooked. Fast forward to 2022, and I still largely follow this pattern. I wrote the original version of this video while taking a break from coding on a project somewhere midair above Denver from my iPad. That's the only computer I usually bring with me on trips these days, just because the remote workflow is so ingrained in how I think about things. Anything code-centric lives on a Graviton-based EC2 instance that hangs out in US West 2. And my iPad provides me what's basically a thin client. It's little more than a keyboard with a screen attached. But getting other people on board with my cloud-based development approach goes over about as well as if I suggested they smack a baby platypus right on its bill.
This episode of the Last Week in AWS podcast is sponsored by our friends at Datadog, a cloud-scale observability platform that provides comprehensive visibility into cloud, hybrid, and multi-cloud environments with over 600 integrations, including, obviously, AWS. With Datadog, you can navigate seamlessly between your AWS infrastructure metrics, traces, and logs, using out-of-the-box dashboards and algorithmic alerting for fast collaboration and troubleshooting, all in one tightly integrated platform. Plus, Datadog's lightweight agent integrates seamlessly with AWS services, so you can start monitoring EC2, RDS, ECS, and all the other AWS services that you don't use in minutes. Datadog provides your teams with the tools to monitor every layer of their stacks to enhance performance, but don't take their word for it. Start a free trial today and they'll send you a t-shirt. Visit datadoghq.com/lastweekinAWS. That's datadoghq.com/lastweekinAWS.
Though I still love VI, as I've become more code-centric in recent years, I find myself biasing towards using Microsoft's Visual Studio Code as my text editor these days. But despite numerous attempts, I can't find a way to make VS Code work comfortably for me in any other scenario than on my desktop at home. There's just something about the ergonomics that doesn't work at all for my use case. So I'm forced to re-examine exactly why so many of us push back against cloud-based development. Microsoft and Amazon have certainly tried to drive towards using cloud-based development as a general practice. Google hasn't really, given that it's mostly satisfied with using Google Docs as an IDE. And yes, I'm serious. It's a part of the interview process for engineers being interviewed at Google. I can only assume that it's rooted in some archaic form of hazing. When AWS waded into the space by acquiring Cloud9 and then relaunching it as an AWS service, I was excited to give it a try. But it hasn't stuck with me, and I don't see it being used in the wild. On the other hand, CodeSpaces, which is hosted Visual Studio Code that GitHub offers, is great. It's nailed most aspects of the user experience, the pricing is eminently reasonable, and the sign-in process is incredibly low friction. And yet, I find myself reverting to my tried-and-true process more often than I'd like. SSH to an EC2 instance, and then use VI to edit files. Why is that? And as far as I can tell, it's based on nothing beyond simply habit. And I think that's really what our development choices come down to across the board. Habit. By the time someone is working professionally as a software engineer, they've been writing code long enough for habits to form. Their ways of working are more or less ingrained. For something else to supersede that habit, it needs to be one of three things. One, enforced by policy, and we know that that doesn't tend to go over super well. Two, a technical requirement to do it that way. And three, such a significantly better experience that switching to doing it this way becomes a no-brainer. Unfortunately, the experience of cloud development hasn't been a transformative breakthrough from the developer experience perspective so far. And until that changes, I suspect driving the adoption of cloud-based development environments is going to be an uphill battle. But at least for now, everyone will have top-of-the-line laptops.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.